Blog Talk Radio.
5 Lincoln 103, 5 Lincoln 102, Lincoln 103 and 102.
Bobby 241 Parking Circuit, section 1 boy.
Henry 8, Henry 9, respond to gate 437, Bravo, for your dignitary detail. 3K 911, on the pivot 400, lower level, near Terra Cell 4, black bag. GTA in progress, 401 parking structure, section 4 boy.
Bonding 2401 parking structure, section 1 boy.
415 passenger, onboard aircraft.
Control 2 Franklin and Bravo.
44 suspects, female, Hispanic, 28 years of age, blue jeans, no further.
Control, car train 401 is a route.
Well, good evening, and welcome to another edition of the Private Officer Talk Radio Network. On this beautiful Sunday, February the 20th, 2011, glad that you have joined us tonight, wherever you might be, here in the great U.S. of A. and all around the world. We have an interesting show for you tonight, as always. We have a great topic, and we're going to get to that shortly. We will be talking tonight a little bit about the introduction to disaster security response. And we do have a larger module of training that is available on CD or on the Internet, which we will make available to you in the upcoming days as well. My name is Rick McCann. I'm the founder and CEO of Private Officer International, a private security and law enforcement association, a rapidly growing association, and an exciting one to be part of. As always, we want to remind you that if you'd like to send us an email while we're on the air tonight, you can do so at radio@privateofficer.com, radio@privateofficer.com, and I'll be glad to read your news, training event, or whatever happening you might be announcing to our listening public, and we will be happy to broadcast promotions or what have yous. Whatever that might be, and we'll generally do it for free. Want to welcome a couple of listeners tonight, and it always blows my mind how many people continue to join our audience and where they are listening from. Every week, we seem to be adding substantial numbers of listeners from not just here, but all around the world. And we know by email today that right now, at this very second, it is 11:32 in the morning, 11:32 Monday morning, and our friends and associates and members in Sydney, Australia, is listening to us right now. Joining our live broadcast from Sydney, Australia at 11:32 a.m. Monday morning, as we're broadcasting live at 7:33 Eastern Time Sunday evening. Also listening right now from Brussels, Belgium, where it's 1:34 Monday morning, Kenny Strong is listening and several other members in Belgium. So, good morning to y'all, as they say here in the South. Glad you could be joining us, and we're just so happy that you have become members and that you have joined us here for tonight's live broadcast episode, I believe it's 76. Really happy with all the response to the radio programs, to the training. We're just very happy with what has been happening in the last few years. You know, in recent shows, we were talking in the last few weeks about some pretty big topics, and our numbers for the radio show in the last 4 to 5 weeks really have spiked. I'm talking about big time. We did a show a number of weeks ago about employee rights, what employees' rights really were, what they entailed, and what they did not entail, what the employer must do and must not do. And it was a hit show. I think it was our highest rated show that we've ever had in the last 2 years of broadcasting. And we had listeners who were not involved in security or law enforcement. We had listeners who were in many industries, but because of the importance of the material, people somehow found the show, and they listened either live or later on demand by podcast, which is wonderful. We also shared a show with you a few weeks back about the 8 steps to profitable career in security, and also another show about the inner working of contract security, and those were also very big shows. And last week we talked about the bigger fish, how to look beyond what you see, how to go after the bigger fish and be more of an investigator in your daily duties as a private security person or a private police officer. And so this week we've got another great show for you. And we're going to be talking about the introduction to disaster security response, which, you know, it's huge. It's huge, and you got to know what you're doing. And I will tell you that I mentioned this, I believe, last week's show or maybe the prior week to that, but we came up with the idea after doing some of the online training as part of our 2011 training initiative, which I'll be talking about in about a couple of minutes. But, you know, we looked around at the training material that we had, and we saw that we really needed to update it and add some modules. And so this really has come out of something that, you know, we started February 1 with the kickoff of the initiative for training. So pretty cool. Want to welcome our new members. As we were saying a few moments ago, we have new members in a number of countries and across the U.S. of A. And Mark Gamble, our friend out in California, out in Stockton, California, one of our latest lifetime members, and also Brian Christ in New Jersey, a longtime supporter and member of the association, has upgraded his membership to lifetime membership. Also, Wally Sutton has also upgraded his membership to lifetime membership, and Wally is actually a federal agent, and you know, it's amazing, as I tell you each week, the people who join the association and the people who see the value in what we're doing. It's rewarding in every way, beyond what my imagine could ever have dreamed of. Speaking of upgrading your memberships, right now we have a fantastic never before and never again offer for you. As you know, if you are a listener, if you're a listener to our program, you know I do not like pushing products, not like being, you know, a soapbox preacher trying to beg you for money, and I won't do that. But we have a fantastic promotion for 1 week, and I promised that I would tell you about it. So it's like I said, never before and never again will this happen. But for 1 week only, with every lifetime membership, which is only $149, normally it's about $349, but it's $149 for lifetime membership to the Private Officer International Association, $149. And right now, for 1 week only, if you join this week, you will also get the Certified Asset Protection Professional course, a $159 value, free of charge. You're getting 2 for $1. So lifetime membership, $149. And we're going to throw in, free of charge, the Certified Asset Protection Professional course valued at $159. That is a heck of a deal. For more information, go to our website at www.privateofficer.com/ Security Association. I'm telling you, folks, this is never going to happen again. And I'm not sure why it's happening now, but it is. And so if you are in a position where you can take advantage of that, now would be the time. If you've always wanted to take the CAPP1 course, but it was a little bit out of your ballpark financially, well, now you can become a lifetime member and get the course absolutely free for $149 total, all inclusive. Don't go right now, but after the show, head on over to that website page at www.privateofficer.com/Security Association. And you'll be glad you did, because it's quite the deal. Sometimes we just give away the store. I just don't understand it. I'm going to have to be talking to some people in the morning for sure. All right. You can be part of the excitement of Private Officer International. You can be a preacher of the POI gospel. You can be a doer of the word right now. Help us to spread the word to your coworkers and others in the private security, law enforcement, and private police, public safety communities. Let them know about this special. Let them know about this deal. Let them know about this once in a lifetime, never again deal to become a lifetime member and get a free certification course, which, by the way, it is college-level material. Anyone who's gone through the CAPP 1 or 2 courses, or any of the courses for that matter, will tell you that it is college material. It is something that you would get if you were taking a criminal justice course at a local community college. In fact, several colleges currently teach our material. So if you've been interested in taking this specialized training, now is your time, and spread the word. Spread the gospel. Let people know about what's happening, all the excitement at Private Officer International. The excitement continues. Want to remind you, if this is your first time or your second time or your 50th time listening to our radio show, as we always do, that you can follow us on the web. First of all, contact us day or night, 24/7. Someone, somewhere, somehow is monitoring our emails. Send us an email at any time at adminassist@privateofficer.com. That's a general email, and it will get to the right person. adminassist@privateofficer.com. You can listen to our radio show anytime, day or night, whether you're at work, whether you're on the way to school, whether you're home, lazing around. You can listen to it live every Sunday at 7:30 p.m. Eastern Time, or 24/7 on the web. You can go to our homepage at privateofficer.com and just click on the radio and listen to all of those programs that we've had in the last 2 years, because they're all stored and cataloged right there. Listen to them at your leisure. They're also available at iTunes and several other digital sites. If you want to pay for them, be my guest. You can follow us if you're a Facebook person at Facebook/PrivateOfficer.com, Twitter/PrivateOfficer, Twitter.com/PrivateOfficer. And as we say, our news blog is actually connected to that site. So anytime there's a new headline, you'll get a tweet and you'll be advised of breaking news. You can also certainly join us on our own forums just by going to our website at privateofficer.com and click on the forums link. And you can also follow our breaking news. We update the news several times a day at privateofficernews.wordpress.com, or simply connect to all of those sites by going to our homepage at www.privateofficer.com and just click on those links that you're interested in. And, you know, I repeat this on every show, and people sometimes ask me why, and basically it's because we do have new listeners every week, amazingly, and This is all fresh, new material to them. It's kind of like a comedian going to the same club or a singer going to the same club. You do the same material almost every time because you're going to have at least a few new listeners, a few new participants in the audience. So, you know, for the benefit of our new listeners, I always give out all of the information about our website address and how you can follow us and how you can get in touch with us. We have a couple of great upcoming shows. We will be interviewing several people who have been involved recently in armed confrontations and who have been involved in shootings. We will be having them on an upcoming show in a few weeks talking about shooting incidents and what the mind goes through during the event and after the event. And we will also be having a show called Boundaries, which will be talking more about what your job is and what it is not. And it just seems like every few months we have to remind people because they forget. Just this week, in fact, just in the last few days, a family has threatened to sue Valor Security. Valor Security is a national security agency that generally contracts shopping centers and malls to provide public safety and security. And it seems that before Christmas, back in the late fall of last year, several of their security officers chased a young man out of the mall across a busy thoroughfare. He was struck and killed by a vehicle. No, he was not shoplifting. No, he didn't have any drugs on him. No, he didn't steal anything. He didn't break anything. He didn't do anything. In fact, the reason why these security guards were chasing this young man was because his underwear was showing. His pants were down a little bit too low. They asked him to pull his pants up. He refused. They began chasing him. They left the boundaries of the mall to chase this 15-year-old. For what? No crime had been committed. No shoplifting, no theft, no disorderly conduct, no weapons, no drugs, no nothing. They chased this young man to his death. And now the family is demanding a $20 million settlement payment immediately, or they will sue the company for much more money. So we will be talking once again in the next week or two about boundaries and limits. While you're on private property, you have a lot of authority. But once you leave that property, once you go beyond the boundaries, you have little to none, no authority. And we'll be talking about that in an upcoming show because it's very important that people really understand that they really get what the limits are, what the boundaries are, because there's a lot of liability to this job, as we tell you every week. And if you go beyond the boundaries, there's definitely going to be some serious consequences. But we will be having a show about that. We have a very large, huge, mega announcement coming up next month, in fact, the first week of March, in about 2 weeks, I guess. If you have ever wanted to own your own security agency, if you've ever wanted to start your own business, if you've ever wanted to tell your boss where he can, put the job, now may be an opportunity for you. With this announcement in a few weeks, we will be giving many people an opportunity that they've never had before. And I'm pretty excited about it, something that we've been working on for quite some time. Can't wait to break the news. Coming up in a couple of weeks, you won't want to miss that announcement. We were talking a few minutes ago about the 2011 training initiative, and it's something that we kicked off almost 3 weeks ago. The 2011 training security initiative, we have a goal to reach. We're trying to train 1,000 private security officers here in the U.S. or around the world, 1,000, and get them certified in two different areas that the state license does not require them to have. For instance, if you are in New Jersey and your state does not require that you have any type of triage, mass casualty, or incident command training, or any first aid training, then you could take those two modules, and that would satisfy the requirement. We will issue you a certificate, and in fact, during the 2011 Private Security Training Initiative, we, Private Officer International, is offering one free training module to you when you sign up, and we've also listed on the sign-up page more than a dozen other websites, including colleges, universities, Department of Homeland Security, and several other institutions that are offering free online training. As I mentioned last week, if you are a firefighter, an EMT, a paramedic, and you need some continuing education units, some CEUs to because they're required to continue your certification, some of these actually will offer you 1 to 3 units. I've accumulated a number of these CEUs myself just in the last month or so by taking these online courses. So they're fairly easy. Takes a little bit of your time, a little bit of effort, but they are free. So we recommend that you get online at privateofficer.com. At the top of our home page, there is a banner. Click on the banner, follow the links, sign up for the free training, and help us to reach our 2011 Private Security Training Initiative. Now, right now, we're about 15%. We've reached about 15% of our goal in the first 3 weeks, so we're pretty happy about that. The goal, the initiative, will be February 1 through December 1, and we're hoping to reach that long before that December 1st. And I mentioned last week that a couple of folks have begun a few challenges. And Dan up in Connecticut, he's not telling me how many modules he's done already online, but I think it's about 10 or 12. Also, Rich up in Northern Virginia, he also is knocking some of those free training sites down and collecting some certificates. And three or four others are in competition, and I myself have knocked out about 30-something. So my goal is 50, to complete 50 lessons, 50 training modules by April 1st. And I'm more than halfway there. So the challenge is on. Get involved. Training is exciting, educational, rewarding, and it's something that your life depends on. So while it's free, take advantage of it. Seriously. You won't regret it. Want to mention also that we are moving forward with our chapters. As we mentioned last week, it is a slow process. We are still considering people at a much lower rate. We will have a brand new chapter opening up within the next few weeks in the D.C., Northern Virginia area. If you live in D.C., Maryland, or Virginia, the Northern Virginia area, we will have an established chapter there. If you live in the Metro Atlanta area, we have a chapter there. Send us an email at adminassist@privateofficer.com. We will hook you up. If you live in Cincinnati or Northern Kentucky, we have a established chapter there that we're trying to get going, and we need your support. Send us an email, and we will get you connected there. And we have a number of other locations that are up or running or close to being up and running. New Jersey, Washington State, several locations in Texas and Florida. So send us an email if you would like to be a chapter manager. You have to fill out a short form application and go through a interview and orientation process. It's pretty simple, but it's very rewarding. And if you want more information, send us an email at admin@theprivateofficer.com, and we will certainly follow up on that. We're kind of moving right along because I've got quite a bit of training to do on the intro to disaster security. And do want to mention quickly that we are still working on our national conventions, and we are looking for sponsors, people to sponsor the conference. And we are looking also for members to assist at the conference, one on the East Coast and one someplace out to the West. If you're interested, please send us an email at admin@privateofficer.com. We also mentioned that we have an advisory board. We have selected a number of people. We have two positions left if you would like to be on the advisory board. Basically, that's a think tank where you will help us to establish maybe new protocols, new products, services, member benefits, whatever. Individually, you will work on things, and you will work on them collectively as a board. This is a great way to get experience on a board. It looks very good on your resume that you are on a board of a company, not only a company, but a large international corporation. And if you're interested, send an email to admin@privateofficer.com. Also, I want to remind you that we do have the Private Officer International badge that is on sale for $50. It's a beautiful two-tone LAPD-style badge. It will have your name and your number on the badge, and those who have ordered them can attest they are pretty sharp. If you're a member and you would like to have one, you can go to our website at privateofficer.com, click on the Members Only link, and order your badge today. I believe we still have free shipping. So, you know, for the price of the badge, you're going to have a custom-made badge that will be shipped to you. Moving very quickly, we want to mention our birthdays this week. We've got quite a few of them. Happy birthday to Owen Kenilsworth in Maine. He is 21 years old. Happy birthday, Owen. Perry Hunt, he is in Birmingham. No, not Birmingham, U.S. of A., Alabama. No, he's in Birmingham, England. Happy birthday, Perry, number 40 for him. Jane Steiker in Kansas City. Happy birthday. No age, of course. Women never tell their age. Justin Cass in Meriden, Connecticut, 37. Happy birthday, Mr. Cass. Bill Frist III, he is 50 in Newberry, South Carolina, a fine, outstanding member. Happy birthday, Mr. Bill, to you, the Big 50. Lloyd Granhurst in Canada, Ontario, Canada. Happy birthday, Mr. Granhurst, to you. Frank West is 62. He's in Southport, Mississippi. Christopher White in Dallas, Texas. Don't have an age, but happy birthday. One of our good friends and members, Andre Coleman in Delaware. Happy birthday to you, young man. Hope you have many more. And Jeremy Bauer in Buffalo, New York. Happy birthday to you. Brian Thayer. Happy birthday, Brian, to you. And he is in, says Cantaloupe, Florida, but I don't think that's right. But he's in Florida. Cantonment. That's what it is. He's in Cantonment, Florida. Cantaloupe. Oh, boy. Happy birthday to you, my friend. I also want to say congratulations to some of our fine people who recently graduated from the training courses, Sierra King in Grand Isle, Nebraska. We've had quite a few people from that area take the Certified Church Security Specialist course. Congratulations, Sierra King. Sean Copeland of Houston, Texas, has taken and passed the Certified Asset Protection Professional 2, Professional 1 and 2 course. Congratulations, Sean, to you. Brian Huntington in Paramus, New Jersey, has recently completed the Certified Asset Protection Professional 1. Kendra Thompson. Kendra Thompson is in South Africa. She completed the Certified Asset Protection Professional 2 with honors. Peter Weinstein in Rochester, New York, has completed the Certified Asset Protection Professional 1. And Glenn Jones has certified Protection Professional 2. And, wow, that is just spectacular. It really, really is. And we really congratulate everyone who has completed those courses, because it is no small office. Actually, a pretty long, intense course. If you've ever taken it, you know. So congratulations to everybody, and happy birthday as well to all of you fine people. In the emails, very quickly, Billy Scher in Boston says that he loves the radio show, and he has been a faithful listener each week. Even the weeks when I'm not here, he says, he's listened to the old reruns. Well, thank you, Billy, and we'll try not to be absent too often. Bruce Knight in Middletown, Connecticut, said he really enjoys the radio show, and being a member of the association has definitely increased his professionalism. Well, that's good, because that's really what we're all about as an association. That's what my personal goal is to help people to become more professional, better trained and educated in this industry. Smitty in Georgia says, thanks for the shows. They're great. Susan Kahn in South Carolina says she really loves the radio show, the association. She's glad that she became a member. And Glenn Jones is glad to be a new member, enjoys all the radio shows. And there's a number of other emails that we're not going to get to, but you know, we really do appreciate each and every one of you who email us on a regular basis. We get emails daily, and seriously, we love email. So wherever you are, wherever you're listening right now, whether it be in Newport, Virginia, or whether it be in, Palm Beach, or whether it be in Australia, Brussels, hey, send me an email. Love to read them. And I'll read them on air if you'd like me to. Also, one other note when I'm talking about that, if you're in Australia or England or Canada, South Africa, India, wherever you might be, we really would love for you to update us with what's going on in the security industry in your country, because we do try to stay on top of that. We monitor all of the news every day, throughout the day, from around the world. But if you would send us updates via email, that would be greatly appreciated, and it would help us tremendously. Very quickly, I do want to go over to the news. There's a lot of news, but I'm going to skip over most of it. I would like for you to check out the news later on, because there's quite a bit of good stuff there, and I'm going to miss it all. But I thought these few things were noteworthy. In Canada, the Canadian legislators, Prime Minister, is trying to expand the legal protection for people who make citizens' arrest. According to Prime Minister Stephen Harper, he does not want citizens to face civil litigation or criminal actions when they arrest someone, make a citizen's arrest, and so they are going to be drawing up some new legislation to protect private citizens who make arrests. It's going to be called Bill C-60. Which would allow citizens to detain a suspect without a warrant, not only when the suspect is caught in the act, but also when there is a reasonable amount of time after the offense and they believe it's feasible to make the arrest so that the suspect doesn't escape in the presence or out of the presence. And that's something that some of the states here in the U.S. already have, but the legislation there in Canada is going to expand private citizen arrest authority. Dallas, Texas, you may have heard about this, an undercover TSA, Transportation Security Agent, armed with a gun, was able to go through the Dallas-Fort Worth Airport body scanner undetected and got a loaded gun through the scanner, and they're investigating why those TSA agents did not catch that armed officer. In Fairfax County, a grandmother late last year, threw her grandchild off a parking deck at the Tysons Corner Center Mall, which is a very large, one of the largest malls in the country in Virginia. And she is going to trial on a murder charge, and it's unfortunate that it happened. But I thought that that was interesting since it happened at a mall. We often talk about the crime scene security and the various types of crimes that you're going to run into at your location. And here's another example. This was a murder at a shopping mall, one of the largest, nicest malls on the East Coast. Jupiter, Florida, Wack and Hut Security announced this week that they have made a complete changeover to the name. They are no longer Wack and Hut. They are officially G4S Security. They've changed their uniforms and their patches for whatever that's worth. A very funny incident in Homeland, California. I was going to say Homeland Security, but Homeland, California, a off-duty California Highway Patrol officer and a U.S. Postal Service driver got into a confrontation over bad driving habits, and both of them tried to arrest each other. They both tried to place each other under citizen arrest, and when the real police got there, they determined that no actual crimes had been committed, and they sent them both on their way, and needless to say, nobody was arrested. Cleveland, Ohio, a Garda armored truck lost some money, supposedly out the back door. They're not sure exactly how that happened, but a bag of money just flew out the back door. And according to police, the undisclosed amount of cash has not been located since. This happened late yesterday in Silver Spring, Maryland. A security officer at the City Place Mall was assaulted by a man armed with a ice pick. Police from the Montgomery County Police Department in Maryland responded during a confrontation with the suspect. They shot and killed him, and the security officer is going to be okay. In Oroville, California, police there say that Walmart security assisted them with information that led to the arrest of a bank robbery suspect. According to police, Walmart LP agents had a substantial amount of security video of the suspect, who had been in the store a number of times, and they were able to ID the suspect and through that video. Greensboro, North Carolina, this weekend, a security officer, Winfred Hunt, 54, was shot and killed. He tried to break up a fight. Police say that he was shot a number of times, subsequently died, and police are still looking for the suspect. They do have a suspect named, and they say he is armed and dangerous. And that was the 15th private security officer this year. Killed in the line of duty, and it's a sad and tragic fact. We have seen over the last couple of years a very large increase in armed confrontations. In Victorville, California, a gun welding woman robbed a Victoria's Secret store of thousands of dollars of clothing. According to police, when she was approached by store personnel, she pulled out a gun and escaped. Police were able to later track her down and arrested her. Another armed confrontation. A loss prevention agent for Target in the Midwest City, Oklahoma store was stabbed by three shoplifting suspects on Thursday. According to police, one female suspect, Michelle Turner, has been arrested. Police are searching for two others. The security officer was treated at the hospital and released, and he is in good condition. In Chatham, New Jersey, police there say that an armored truck struck a pedestrian who is in serious condition while she was walking across the street. Tiffany Jones, the driver of the armored truck, said that she never saw the pedestrian in the crosswalk while she was making a turn. There's a possible litigation or lawsuit situation right there. Danville, Virginia, a security officer a few weeks ago, I don't know if you read the news broadcast that we sent out, but a security officer who was working at the Social Security Administration building was stabbed a number of times by a man during a confrontation, lost a lot of blood, but with the help of several people in the office, was able to subdue and handcuff the suspect, and he was awarded. His name is Jason Alvball, security officer, actually a U.S. Deputy Marshal, contracted security officer, was given an award for the actions that day to bring that suspect into custody. It was a very horrific crime, and luckily he was able to, with the help of several people, subdue that man before he lost his own life. And so, you know, it's again, another armed confrontation. Portland, Oregon authorities say that two people, Richard Laverne Remington, 52, and Angela Rose Evans, shoplifted, get this, $5 million, $5 million worth of stuff from the Safeway stores. According to police, the two made it their daily job for more than a year to steal DVDs, CDs, Rogaine, teeth whiteners, conditioners, batteries, shampoos, and razors. Between November 19th and January 14th, they stole over $400,000 just in a few months. A few months. My goodness. Investigators with the Safeway Loss Prevention Department was able to track these two down, and they're currently in custody. Watertown, New York, security officers working at a mall identified a suspect who had drugs on him at the Salmon Run Mall. Police were notified and arrested Nicholas Deegan, 20, who had heroin. Not sure if he was trying to sell it there or exactly how security came to know that the suspect had drugs on him, but nonetheless, police were able to take him into custody. That is all the news. If you would like to call in very quickly, I will open the lines for just a moment. We're going to move on to our training. The phone number, if you would like to call in, is 1-347-426-3807. Again, that area code is 347-426-3807. And I'll hold the lines open for a minute or two, and then we will be moving on, as they say. And I'm going to get a little swig of Diet Pepsi, actually, to wet my whistle. Again, if you would like to call in, ask anything about the association, about the chapters, or even about the training or some other subject, feel free to do so. As we hold the line open for just another moment or so, area code 347-426-3807. Mm-ba-bum-ba-bum-da-da-ba-da-da-bum. Okay, I always love it when people call in all at once. Tonight we do want to talk a little bit about introduction to disaster security response. This is going to be a preliminary introduction to working in and around disaster zones. And we're going to be talking a little bit about the how you can get involved and how do you can be prepared to respond, because that, you know, you can't just decide to jump in your car and hippity hop right on over down there. You know, it doesn't work like that. You have to be prepared. There are certain things that you have to do if you are going to be a disaster security responder, if you are going to work in a disaster zone. It's not something you can just decide, you know, after you've heard the news. Disasters can strike any time, day or night. There is no rhythm and there is no rhyme to disaster. It can happen in a moment's notice when you least expect it, when you're least prepared. Disasters come in two forms, man-made and natural. Disasters are mostly unpredictable and often come without notice. Weather forecasters predict probabilities, not certainties. I want to repeat that. Very important to note. Weather forecasters predict probabilities, not certainties. They predict using computer models now, using computer software, what type of storm is heading in your direction, when that storm will arrive, what the strength of that storm will be, what course it will take. But unfortunately, Mother Nature does not work for, does not adhere to, does not always obey what the computer models have predicted. Oftentimes, with severe weather, it will go whatever way that it wants to. Oftentimes, especially during hurricanes, they will track one way for a while, but a little bit of surge, a little bit of warmer weather, a little bit of upper air disturbance will scatter the hurricane in directions other than what was predicted. And without much notice, another area of the country or another area of the coastline is in danger. Katrina was a great example of this, because although weather forecasters had predicted the hurricane, they never could have predicted, they never could have foreseen the levees breaking, New Orleans flooding, and the level of damage, destruction and deaths that the storm caused, not only in New Orleans, but also in Mississippi, which took the brunt of the winds, because in a hurricane situation, the most severe damage is on the east side of the storm. Hurricane Katrina hit August 28, 2005, almost six years ago. It was not a good sight. If you worked in that area during that time, if you were on special detail or on a rescue deployment, you know what we saw. You know what we smelled. You know what we heard. You know what we lived. But if you didn't, if you were not there, then you had no clue. Tonight we're going to be talking a little bit about the role that private security plays in disaster response. In any disaster, there are usually three stages. You have the rescue stage, the search stage, and the recovery stage. Private security usually participates in stage three, the recovery, and we're not talking about the recovery of bodies, although that is part of the recovery stage. Three stages to disaster response. Rescue, that's when the initial disaster strikes. And emergency public safety personnel respond to that specific area, and they begin to conduct rescue operations, first to contain any other disasters or situations such as fires, gas leaks, things of that nature. Phase two, rescuers come in, and they begin to search, not for bodies, but for those that can be helped out of the disaster area, for the injured, for those that are trapped. And then phase three, the recovery of bodies and the recovery of the disaster zone. There's really no way for any of us, no matter where we are, to be fully prepared for every possible type of disaster that might strike, that might happen in your city, town, or state, or even your region. There's no way, no way to be prepared to estimate what damage, what disaster, what catastrophe is going to hit your particular area at any particular time. However, we teach all the time about situational training, about how to be ready for anything at any time, how to predict the unpredictable. The key at good public safety management, the key at good military response is drill, train, practice, drill, train, practice, train, drill, practice. Sometimes, folks, I got to be honest with you, it gets tiring and boring to do the same old thing over and over again. It's like, we got to do this again. We got to do this mock disaster again. We just did one 6 months ago. Yeah, we got to do it again and again and again and again, until we can all coordinate everything down the way it's supposed to be, so that when the real disaster comes our way, we're not going to be looking like a bunch of, you know, Boy Scouts. We're going to be looking like the professionals that the public is counting on to rescue them and to help them. It's important that you, as a security professional, or as an individual, prepare for disasters that might strike your particular area. If you live in the flatlands of Kansas or Oklahoma, you know that you're in Tornado Alley. You can predict that every year you're going to see some type of severe weather moving through your area. You know. There's no shadow of a doubt. There's no question. Something is coming your way in the spring and in the late summer, early fall. Winds will begin to blow. Clouds will begin to swirl. And once again, for another year, you'll be under the gun during tornado season. You don't have to be a weather forecaster. You don't have to be a scientist to know if you live in a particular area that's prone for severe weather, that it's going to happen almost every year. If you live in Kansas, Oklahoma, you pretty much are on guard, on the lookout year-round, because not only do you have tornadoes in the spring and the fall, but during the summer you have hail storms frequently, and during the winter you're prone to snow and ice, cold temperatures, severe weather. You never know what's coming your way. So you have to be prepared for all types of natural disasters. If you're living in the snow belt, you're probably not going to be too concerned about tornadoes. If you're living in Louisiana, you're probably not going to be too concerned about big, huge snowstorms, although every once in a while, they do get a few snowflakes. So depending on where you live in this country or in the world, you may be able to plan for natural disasters, ice storms, snowstorms, tornadoes, hurricanes, Mother Nature's fierce striking weather conditions that happen sometimes very quickly. In fact, tornadoes can whip up just like that. Often the most deadliest ones occur at night because people are not expecting them. That's why it's important to have a weather box. That's why it's important to be listening, be prepared. There are man-made disasters and Mother Nature disasters. Man-made disasters include chemical spills, hazmat situations, fires, explosions, nuclear situations, train wrecks that may spill chemicals, power outages, blackouts and brownouts. You got to know where to go to escape. What would you take with you? How long will you be gone? What happens to your pets? Who's going to watch grandma during all this? And who's going to watch the kids? What about your income? You have to be prepared even for local disasters. If you live near a train depot or near a rail line, and every day you look out your window and the train's going up and down, and you see big tankers being hauled on that train, your knowledge of a possible catastrophe happening in your front yard, backyard, is right there. You should know these things could happen, and you should be prepared for them. Situational training. If you live in a city or town that has huge factories, refineries, different chemical companies, there's a couple of chemical companies not too far from where I live, the next town over, but it's close enough where if they had a major spill or a major release of chemicals, it would affect my city, my town. It would affect me. We have to know where to go, how to escape, how to get out of there. Be prepared at all times, you know, to evacuate, because you never know at any moment.
Update to the breaking news we've been following throughout the evening. That hydrochloric acid spill in South Omaha happened about 2 hours ago now. Missouri Avenue and Gibson in South Omaha. A lot of evacuations. We just learned a camp out with small children at the Henry Dorley Zoo. Those children have been evacuated as well. The Omaha Royals game has been canceled tonight, and Rosenblatt Stadium evacuated. KATV News Watch 7's Owen Lay has been live at the scene where this all started. Owen, what do we know at this point?
And Brandy, Omaha Fire Battalion Chief Mark Irvin is right here right now. He just told us they do have a handle on the leak. They have sealed it, but he's still trying to gather some information for us. Meanwhile, Omaha Police says they've given us an update to the evacuation area. Earlier, it was 13th to 24th, L to Deer Park. Now, they are still suggesting people in that area stay inside their homes, and the suggested evacuation area right now is only east of 14th Street near Mid-City or F Street. That area is suggested evacuation due to the hydrochloric acid spill that's going on right now. There's probably a little more than 125 gallons that have spilled from a tanker just down near the railroad tracks. We can show you some of that video a little bit earlier, maybe, if we have that now, and you can see. Well, anyway, there was a plume of gas that was coming out of it, and that's the hydrochloric acid gas that when it vaporizes it, when it hits the air, and they were worried that...
Students at Lebanon High School evacuated their building today following a chemical leak. Eyewitness News reporter Sandra Chapman joins us live this afternoon from Lebanon with the latest. Sandra, what happened?
Well, Scott, right now we want to let parents know that students have been dismissed from Lebanon High School just a short time ago, just before noon, as well as the staff at the administrative building for Lebanon Schools, which is downwind from this leak. What we understand right now is that there was a chemical leak, a chlorine, in the filtration area of the pool here at the school. And we understand that that chlorine possibly mixed with other chemicals. Right now you can see decontamination areas set up to be able to handle the workers as they come out. Now, video from Chopper 13 shows about 1,000 students and 110 staff members here at the school forced outside and into a lot of...
Disasters come in all sizes, all shapes, all types. It doesn't have to be Katrina. It doesn't have to be a tsunami. It might not be a tornado, but disasters come in every town and every city, every neighborhood. As a security professional, we may or may not get called out to those disasters. But if you are a security officer, if you are working for a contract security agency, even in a smaller scale disaster, your company may get the call to come out and secure the property, the area, or businesses that have been evacuated once the all clear has been given, once there's no hazmat situation. It doesn't matter, as we try to drill into people's heads, where you live. Things happen. Disasters occur. In this soundbite, you heard two situations, two scenarios, a factory and a school that had released chlorine into the area, a deadly, toxic situation that could kill. And when we're talking about disasters, we need to know what type of response we need to have. We need to be ready and prepared, both personally to get the heck out of the neighborhood and professionally to respond in the event that they call, you know, for our assistance.
out of service. They're reporting, tornado on the ground, trees down across Interstate 20, so that's probably the reason why there's traffic backed up on Interstate 20. That was just a few minutes ago. Now the tornado is north and east of I-20, and it's moving through the Caddo Parish line. Not too far away.
The National Weather Service of Greensport has issued a tornado warning for Central Natchitoches Parish. This includes the city of Natchitoches, Central Sabine Parish, until 6:15 p.m. Central Standard Time. At 5:28 p.m. Central Standard Time, National Weather Service meteorologists detected a severe thunderstorm capable of producing a tornado near Manny, 23 miles west of Natchitoches, moving east to 40 miles per hour. Other locations in the warning include, but are not limited to, Campy, Martinville, a tornado watch remains.
We are just 3 weeks away from another tornado season. 3 weeks away from another tornado season. Well, you know, on one hand, that's a good thing. That means that the winter is almost over, and spring, it's almost here. But if you're in the emergency services employment, if you live out in the Midwest, Tornado Alley, or you're in South Alabama, Mississippi, where they have terrible tornadoes and severe weather in the spring and the fall, that might not be a good thing for you to know that 3 weeks from now, we're in another tornado season. Natural disasters can be just as deadly as man-made disasters, although they can be predicted a little bit more, they are not always predicted. It wasn't very long ago that I was in South Alabama and a severe thunderstorm was announced, and we were prepared as we were leaving the beach area for the severe weather, which is very common in that area in the summer and the early fall. But before we got into our vehicles and began driving away from the beach area, a tornado quickly formed. That was not predicted. There was no storm warnings for tornadoes, not even a tornado watch. But as I stated earlier, Mother Nature does not play along with the weather forecaster's script. It doesn't have, you know, it has a mind of its own. It doesn't have, it doesn't care what the forecasters think. And so, very quickly, emergencies can come up. Tornadoes, hurricanes, ice storms, floods, snowstorms, hailstorms, mudslides, depending on what area of the country that you live in. As private security, we have to be prepared to respond to these situations, because as a security or public safety officer, many disasters do require private security response. In fact, during a mid-size or large-size disaster, local and state government often will hire private security to protect buildings, to guard food supplies, to provide law and order and protect victims at shelters, sometimes to guard gasoline facilities or tankers that are brought in to fuel the emergency vehicles so that, you know, other victims of the disaster don't come over and try to steal the gas, which happens. Guard equipment, facilities, Oh, yeah. Private security is often a responder to disasters, both, you know, medium size or larger ones. And if you plan on being a disaster responder, you have to prepare ahead. You have to be self-managed and self-ready to go at a moment's notice. You should always have two evacuation kits. One should be for the family. If you have a man-made disaster in your hometown, in your community, and you may need to go to a shelter or to the families or to your kinfolks in another town for a night or two, you can grab that evacuation kit, which should have a weather alert box, battery-operated lanterns or flashlights, extra clothing, medication, things that you need, whether you have maybe contacts, glasses, whatever. That's in your family disaster kit, a small first aid kit. Always gas up in advance when you're notified of an impending storm. Don't wait to the last minute because you'll be in a long line with everyone else. And don't try to store gasoline. In a recent disaster situation, hurricane situation, we found one person who had several 55-gallon drums full of gas. I don't know what they were doing. I don't know what they plan on doing with it. Law enforcement later told us that they thought the gentleman had it to sell to make money off from the victims. But those are bombs. When you have 55-gallon drums full of gas, you have to handle those like bombs because they are. Gas explosions start with fumes and an ignition source. That's why it's very dangerous to store anything more than a small gasoline can. But you should have your vehicles gassed up in advance and a personal disaster bag ready to go at a moment's notice. The second disaster bag should be your equipment bag if you're going to respond with your security agency to your city, county, or state during a tornado disaster or a flood disaster or whatever. It also should contain flashlights and batteries, a weather radio, documents that you might need, medications, you know, things of that nature. Also rain gear, boots. Yeah, you need boots. No. Not snow boots, but you should have some boots to wear in the water. You should have PPE, personal protection equipment, goggles, gloves, things of that nature, duty gear. I prefer, when I'm responding out to those situations, nylon as opposed to the leather, something like Uncle Mike's duty gear, extra clothes, and depending on where you're going, lots of extra clothes, because if you truly are responding to a major disaster, clothes will get muddy and wet very quickly, and facilities to wash them will be few and far between. Make sure that your response bag also has all of your paperwork, all of your credentials, all of your copies of your liability insurance, car insurance, all of that. Very important that you have copies of your credentials if you are responding to a major disaster. You see, in every major disaster, we saw this at Hurricane Ivan when it struck Alabama in 2004. We saw it in Katrina in New Orleans in 2005. I've seen it at tornadoes You can't just roll up to the scene and say, hey, I'm security and I'm here to, see if I can get a couple of contracts and hire myself out. It doesn't work like that. Security, first of all, is not used to patrol the street, enforce the laws. That is the police. That is law enforcement's job. And if they don't have a big enough force, if their department is not big enough to handle the nature of the disaster, they will call in reinforcements from other departments and the National Guard. And let me tell you something. If you think you're going to roll into town, armed to the teeth, looking like commandos, you're wrong. Because I've seen a number of security personnel at the disasters that I mentioned a moment ago get arrested for that very thing. When the National Guard is called in to patrol, you have martial law. There are very tight security perimeters set up. There are certain things that will not be tolerated. And if you roll into the area of a disaster, unprepared, unemployed, no security contract in place, no security license, no insurance, they're not going to let you in. So don't think about it. Yeah, I got down there and I got a job. I got hired and I was guard over there for 2 weeks. You may have gotten lucky. You may have been able to slip through. But I'm telling you now, for your own well-being, that's not the way to respond to a disaster. Laws don't get thrown out of the window just because there's a disaster. In fact, laws get tightened down when martial law goes into effect. Rolling into town, people, unprepared, untrained, unsupported, it's not going to work. There are things that you can do to be prepared. There are ways to be a official responder. But you got to do it the right way. And there are things that you can expect and things that you should not expect once you get there. I will tell you this, if you have never responded to a major disaster, it is not vacation. It is not walk in the park. It is not a couple of days camping out. Sometimes you hear disasters, sometimes you hear these crises happening and you, you know, you just want to help. You just want to get there. You just want to respond. And I remember during 9/11, when we heard about that first plane that crashed into the tower, at first, the report did not say it was a plane. It said some type of explosion. The response at that time was, the fire department will handle it. It doesn't sound too big. But I remember sitting in my office and a friend of mine sending me an email saying, have you heard? It's a plane, a jet plane. And I remember my feeling immediately. I began calling and radioing my partners and others in the emergency services industry and telling them and immediately beginning to put together some response material and so forth to get out and get on the road. All I wanted to do was get on the road to New York. And when the second plane hit, all I wanted was to be able to zap myself to the scene. And in every disaster, it's the same way. And if you have been involved in emergency services, if you've been involved in emergency response, whether it be with a fire department, a volunteer squad, a rescue, whatever, you know how it feels. You just want to help. Whatever you can do. And so when you hear about a large natural disaster or man-made disaster, you want to go. You want to respond. And sometimes that's a good thing, and sometimes it's not. Because if you've never been to a true disaster scene, if you've never been to a true crisis, I'm telling you, it is not a camping trip. It is not a vacation. Do not expect convenience. Do not expect sanity. When you get there, things are going to be chaotic, especially in the first 2 weeks, definitely in the first 72 hours. Do not expect good overall conditions because you're not going to get them. Don't expect instant anything because your whole way of life will not be the same once you roll into the disaster area. Do not expect your paychecks to be on time if you're working for a company unless they are direct deposited, and even then, they may not be. Don't expect that all of your coworkers and all of the emergency responders are all going to be happy, jolly people because they're not going to be. Morale will sometimes be low, especially after a few weeks of living hell. Don't expect this to be some big camp out. Don't go into a disaster zone thinking, oh, this is just going to be quick. It's going to be over with. I'll do a little bit of this and I'll get out of here. Because it does not work that way. What you can expect is long days, 12, 16-hour shifts, 7 days a week. In most cases, at least in the beginning, if you're providing security, you're going to be out there in the weather. You're going to be out there in the condition. You can expect poor shelter, whether that be sleeping in a tent, a trailer, under the bridge someplace, in the basement of some building, government facility, church, you can expect no showers or cold showers, in the beginning at least. Yeah, that's right. Stinky conditions. You get 10, 15, 20, 30 people all shoved into one small room, one small tent, after a few days of not showering. Yeah, it's not going to be a picnic, friend. It's not going to be a family camp out. You can expect stinky and decaying situation. And if it's a serious disaster like Katrina, or even Hurricane Ivan when it hit the Gulf Coast of Alabama and Florida, you're going to find dead bodies along the road. It's going to look like a battlefield, a war zone, something you have never come across in your life. Dead bodies everywhere. Injured, sick people, lots of them. Destruction and despair. Depression and sadness and heart-wrenching situations. When the sun goes down, it's going to be dark. Any place that you don't have secondary lighting, battery-operated lamps, it's going to be dark because there's not going to be any electricity. There's not going to be any McDonald's drive-thrus open, folks. You can expect rationed food once the military gets there, once FEMA gets there. It might be a few days. It might be a few weeks. You saw what happened at Katrina. When you do get some food in the initial few days or week, it might be K rations. It might be military rations in a packet. You add a little water to and mix it up and, oh, yum, 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 this is good stuff. Until things get set up, until disaster relief systems get in place, you're not going to have much comfort at all. This is not going to be the comfort of your home. There's not going to be hot showers and plenty of food and a nice, comfortable, warm bed to go to. And you've got to be willing, ready, and able to do your best 24/7 because people are depending on you to protect them, to protect their property, their assets, to make sure that other people don't come in and loot it, steal it, destroy it. What little they have left from the disaster, they're counting on you to keep it there, keep it safe. You've got to be committed, dedicated, and loyal to the job is done. It might be a few days. It might be a few weeks. With Katrina, contract security companies had jobs for more than 3 years as they rebuilt infrastructure, roads, utilities, and basically a whole city again. It's going to be an experience like you've never had before. It's something you could never imagine unless you've been there in the past. You're going to feel like you're in a third world country. At least in the beginning. Be prepared. If you want to truly be a disaster responder, here are some things that you will need to do. First of all, to be a good disaster responder, you need to be prepared. Be prepared physically. Be prepared mentally. be aware of what you're really getting into. It is not a camping trip. You're not going to be there for 24 or 48 hours. I'm telling you, most assignments are going to last weeks, months, away from family, away from your children. You can't get there and 2 days later go, oh, I'm homesick. I'm sorry, boss, but I want to go home. Because it's kind of like being in the military at that point. You're there for the long haul, whether you want to be or not. Sure, you can quit. Sure, you can go home. But you responded to the disaster because you wanted to help people. You can't help them from the comfort of your house. You can help them by getting down and getting dirty with them and doing what it takes. It is going to be a situation like none other that you may have ever been involved in. Another thing that you have to do is get yourself physically ready. Make sure that you have all of your shots are up to date. Tetanus shots. Make sure that you really do go and get a physical. Be prepared. If you take medication, that you have a supply of medication that will last you at least 90 days, 60 days, because there's not going to be any pharmacies opening up anytime soon in a real disaster zone. Diseases, they're easy to catch in those areas. You saw the scenes out of Katrina. You saw the water, the dead bodies, the oil, decaying vegetation, animals, everything all mixed in that soup, in that water, and you walking through it, you have to be prepared. So make sure you take a physical exam. Make sure that you're mentally prepared for what it is you're about to get involved in and what it is you're about to see. Make sure that you have your prescriptions at least 60 days, 90 days worth. Make sure that you have your shots in order. Yeah, you think I'm joking, but I'm not. I'm serious. Make sure you have your tetanus. A lot of sick people are there. You should also take the appropriate courses. I recommend to everyone to take the Civilian Emergency Response Team Emergency Management course that's offered by the Department of Homeland and CERT. Right now you can take a module of it free online. Just go to our website and click at the banner on the top of the homepage. You should also take all of the IS 200 to 900 Incident Command courses. Those are also free from the Department of Homeland Security and the Emergency Management Institute. Those will train you about incident command, triage, things of that nature. I really highly recommend that you complete basic first aid and CPR at the minimum, before you go into a disaster zone, because besides all the people that's already injured there, a lot of emergency responders, a lot of utility workers, a lot of contract workers, a lot of security people get injured, military people also get injured because of everything that you're dealing with, all of the debris, all the down lines, you know, all of the stuff that's happening. You're going to get cuts. You're going to get injured. People do have heart attacks. At the minimum, have basic first aid and CPR prior to going. Now, if you really want to be a responder to a certain area, let's say that you live in Mississippi, and you know that Alabama, Florida, Mississippi, and Louisiana and Texas are prone to getting hit at least once or twice a year by a hurricane, and you want to be a professional security disaster responder, well, rather than roll up into the scene trying to be commando security without any license, insurance, contracts, looking kind of silly, you can get pre-approved from local security agency. Send them your resume, make a contact with them, and let them know that you want to be pre-approved to be called out for disasters. They will put you on file and call you if they get contracted in a disaster zone. You can also be pre-licensed if you want to work in certain areas. You can get your own security license, and you can go and respond when a disaster happens in those areas. Same thing with being insured. Make sure that you have everything up to snuff before you head into those areas. Make sure that you have contingency contracts. If you're going to subcontract out, if you're going to work for a security company, if you're going to start your own security company, make sure that you have contracts in place with larger companies to automatically respond in the event of a disaster. There are certain steps that you can do so that you will be able to respond, so that you will be able to help out in the disaster, so that you will be professional in what you do. But if you go in there and if you try to be some fly-by-night operation, I'm telling you from experience that the Sheriff's Department, the Police Department, and the National Guard will not take kindly to your efforts, and you will be prosecuted. So if you really want to do the right thing, and you really want to help people out, and you really want to be a professional security officer, A, either work for another company, get a subcontract, or get hired on as a call-out security person, or B, file the necessary paperwork to begin your own security agency and do it the right way. But be prepared. It's not a glamorous job. It's not one of those jobs where it's cushy. You're going to sit down and in the office all day. No, it's very demanding. It's mentally demanding because of your condition, because of your situation, your environment. It can be very demanding physically, because there may be a lot of debris around, there may be a lot of things that you have to overcome. On top of all of that, if you are guarding a warehouse, a gasoline tanker or gas facility that may be looted or robbed, it's going to be a challenge. Now, not only do you have to worry about your own mental health, your own physical health, you have to worry about your well-being, that someone might injure you trying to rob the facility that you're guarding. There's a lot more to it than you could possibly imagine unless you've been deployed to a major disaster, a tornado, a flood, a hurricane, or something of that nature in the past. If you've been in the military and you have gone to the war zone, then you will understand what I'm saying. And I will tell you from personal experience that when you leave those conditions, when you leave those areas, when you leave your assignment and your job is complete and you go home, you will need to talk to a professional counselor. You'll need to debrief with a professional. Oh, I'll be all right. That stuff don't bother me. If that stuff don't bother you, you're not human. You see dead bodies floating down the water. You see dead bodies laying on the street. You see people injured, homeless, sleeping out under the bridge, sleeping under cars, in cars. You see people, their homes destroyed. 60 years living in the same home. A place they were going to live till their last days, their last breath, torn apart. And now they're homeless. Yeah, it's going to affect you for a long time. For a long time. People who have worked at Katrina have told me that they will never forget, and neither will I, the sights, the sounds, the smells. People who have responded to New York City during 911, same thing. Many still have problems with what they saw and what they were involved in. You need to be prepared if you really want to be a disaster security responder for all of everything that's going to be involved, the physical, the mental, the job, the conditions, the environment, and understand really what it is that you're getting into. Very quickly, I do want to tell you that as a security officer at a disaster, I mentioned earlier that you would be probably assigned to locations such as warehouses or county or city buildings or state buildings, possibly. You might guard equipment or gasoline. You may also be employed to provide security at the shelters, and that may be a tent city, like it was at Katrina and several other locations. It may be at a school, if the school is still standing, or a county building may be turned in, or a church may be turned into a shelter. You may be providing security for the shelter, and your job basically will be to help protect the people. Protect people from other victims who might, you know, commit a theft or create a disturbance. You're there to show some form of law and order. You're there to protect the staff and volunteers from assault. Oh, yeah. Yeah, victims, even though they're victims, still get upset. Tempers still rise. It's no picnic for them either, folks, whether it be a temporary situation for a few days, a few weeks, or a few months. Things get very hectic and chaotic in that environment, too. Picture a small gymnasium filled to the brim with cots and people sleeping and living within inches of each other. Now, it's not going to be a lot of fun. But if you're working at a shelter, you'll have a chance to help people. To talk with people just about ordinary stuff. To add a little sense of security for them. So to that aspect, it will be rewarding. It will be challenging. It will be dangerous, depending on your assignment. It will be something that you'll never forget. You'll never, ever forget when you leave that assignment. You will know that you have walked through hell on earth. We have a training module that is almost complete that will go into much more detail and depth than we covered tonight. But I hope that we were able to give you some insight about responding to disasters both locally in your community as a security provider, as well as a national level disaster at a such as a tornado or a hurricane, a flood, and some of the things that you can expect and some of the things you should not expect, what the environment really will be like, and the dedication, the commitment, and the loyalty that it will take from you. You have to be able to seriously say, I'm going to do this. I'm going to go and I'm going to stay, and I'm not going to, you know, get upset and leave a day or two later, and I'm going to stay as long as I can. As a volunteer with the American Red Cross on my first major disaster, I didn't realize the time commitment. And second of all, I didn't realize what I was getting myself into. I thought we'd go down to the disaster, go down to the hurricane site, we feed a few people, set up a few shelters, we'll be put up in a nice hotel the next town over or whatever, and we'll have nice hot showers and meals and comfortable living conditions. But boy, was I surprised. That's not how it was at all. And you need to be prepared for the conditions that you might face as a national disaster security responder. It really will not be a camping trip. It really will not be a vacation. It will not be a lot of fun, especially in the few first weeks until things, you know, FEMA and other emergency responders and suppliers get in there and get some things together. We will have the additional training up and running quickly and available to you if you would like that module. It will be on the training website. If you have any questions for me about this or other training, you can send me an email right now at radio@privateofficer.com, or you can email the training division@privateofficer.com, and they will be glad to respond and help you out in whatever your situation or request. And I do want to remind you also that if you have not participated in the Private Officer 2011 Training Initiative, please go to our website at www.privateofficer.com. You can sign up right now for a free training module. You can also get some additional free training at over a dozen websites online that we have placed there. And you can easily build up your resume through this training. It's free. And, you know, we hope that you will take advantage of it. And it's a lot of good free training. I want to remind you also that for 1 week, we have a special. If you sign up for the lifetime membership, $149, you will get a free CAPP1, Certified Asset Protection Professional 1 training certification course, a board-certified course, free. The value of $159. It's absolutely free for 1 week, 1 week only. I hope that you've enjoyed the show tonight, and we will be back on the air again next week, as always. If you have any questions, make sure that you send us an email. Someone is always monitoring our emails 24/7. From around the world and around the country, somebody's always available to respond to you. That's all for another night. Thanks for joining us. We hope that you have a great week. God bless. Be safe. And we will see you again next week right here on the radio.